Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Howdy, folks. Show number 76 now. A few adventures coming down. Few things that are, what would you call it, Brad? In the craw, perhaps?
Yeah, I would say so. We have a full creel of activities on the agenda.
So let's we're gonna thank our sponsors right out of the chute so we can get down to business. Not much happening on the red these days, and I think it's just because the reports have been rather slow and just nobody's getting out because of such a thing. However, Lauren in Fargo has been getting out quite a bit, and he's been seeing some success. So there's obviously a bite on the red. But for those of you who need to come up and visit us on the red, don't forget to book your trip with Kent at Trophy Cat Adventures, because he can certainly help you out. Word's coming out of Lockport with Cats on the Red, folks. Bite's picking up a little bit. So obviously that's a place we want to hit. Only 3 weeks and counting now.
Oh, absolutely. I'm counting the days. And as always, you know, the story up there is, you know, even if the numbers maybe are still building a little bit, they're not lacking for size. I mean, you're just not going to find a place to battle the big kitties like you are up there. I mean, we've been getting some nice fish here on our stretch of river right now, but there's still something really special about that part of the Red River.
Get on the website, catsonthered.net. Don't forget, for all your catfishing supplies, etackledirect.com can help you out with that. And, of course, for those of us in the North Country dealing with wind, which, believe it or not, I didn't deal with last weekend, there's those Wave Buster bobbers that we all have grown to love so much from Today's Tackle that we talk about every week. But hopefully I won't need them for what they're meant to be this coming weekend.
Yeah, you don't want to be busting waves, especially on a holiday weekend with relatives coming up. You're looking for some nice, calm, serene weather.
So, covering the people who pay the bills around here fairly quickly, don't forget to support them because they support us. A lot of things happening, some adventures. I got a lesson in why you should try different water if things aren't working over the weekend in Devil's Lake. My favorite honey holes just are not producing. And stupid me, took a little bit too long to figure that out, and I was actually on my way home when I finally stopped and talked to a couple guys to get the lowdown and start to put my thoughts together as to what's going on. And, well, I think I got a game plan for this coming weekend, and from the reports I am hearing, I'm right, and everything should work itself out very nicely.
Yeah, like you say, when you're in the right spots, the reports I've been hearing are quite good, but, you know, let it be a lesson, I guess, in fishing memories, and, you know, maybe it goes back to the folks we were talking about last week that wouldn't adjust and switch bait. But, you know, you have those favorite spots, and sometimes it's hard to give them up. You know, especially in your case, it's a spot that's fairly relatively close to your cabin and, you know, just convenient. And you know, that makes it a nice thing, too. But on the other hand, when the fish aren't cooperating, it's time to hit for greener pastures.
Well, to my defense, I was fishing memories, yes, I'll admit. But when I realized that it wasn't working, I quickly shifted into more of a summer pattern, or a late summer pattern, I guess you could say, figuring that, you know, we've had a warmer than average June based on the last 3 years, and maybe they're just shifting to more of a traditional summer bite. So I did change things up, and basically I ran my mid-June through August stretches just to outlaw every possibility in that particular area, and it just didn't pan out. And then I went into the bait shop and had a little chat with a couple guys I know, and they basically confirmed my feelings, and, you know, call it a theory, but I think it's due to more traffic in that particular bay, because 2 weeks ago, early in the morning before the jet skis come out, we did very well in a lot of my honey holes.
Well, I remember you saying that, and there's no doubt that boat traffic can affect things. And, you know, with the nice weather we've been having, it is a magnet for pleasure boaters. It's a magnet for jet skis and, you know, those types of things. And, you know, lakes that do get a lot of recreational traffic, it tends to really screw up the fishing on weekends. And so the folks that do fish those types of lakes are generally shifting gears and, you know, fishing early, late, or else trying to do things in the middle of the week. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, in a lot of ways, that's probably what happened in this little honey hole.
Yeah, well, lucky for me, I got 25 other honey holes in different bays and areas, so I'll just move along and start bumping from spot to spot. And I will say Friday, the wife and I did head out to one of our favorite spots in the Minnewaukan Flats area. Immediate success. So there is fish to be caught. It's just not where I was.
And, I mean, let's dwell on another positive. You have your boat fixed. You have the weld.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the boat.
The hole is now no longer there.
It floats.
It floats. You got on the water. You got back to shore. Bilge pump probably didn't have to run too much.
Well, you know what? That first 4 hours I was out, I would get it up and, you know, not quite on plane, just to put the water in the back, and I'd flip the bilge pump on just to see if anything was coming out. And she was bone dry, except for the morning after we got the rain, which obviously was not caused by the weld.
Absolutely has nothing to do with that. So, I mean, that's good news to be back in commission again that way. And so even with the fish didn't cooperate at times, I mean, that's a big positive right now. So,
yeah. Touch of motor trouble. Turns out it was just a reset of computer. So no big deal. Just unplug the battery, let it sit for a couple minutes. Everything rebooted and reset. And no problem.
Those computers, and, you know, all the more reason, you know, to have those little 15-horse Evinrudes, those old reliable things that don't have all this high-tech whiz-bang stuff, you know. Keep it simple, but, you know, the new motors are nice, don't get me wrong, but at least when something goes wrong with the little ones, it's you know, relatively, you can do things. I mean, you're so helpless with, you know, when the computer drives everything.
Right. Well, I understand you had a little weather adventure yesterday. Well, almost a weather adventure.
It was a classic case of dodging the weather. We were up on Lake of the Woods. I was on a charter boat with Sportsman's Lodge, and things are definitely changing up there as well, shifting into a summer pattern. The shoreline bite along the south shore, the easy close-in stuff, that's kind of drying up. The fish are moving out. And we actually went out about 20 miles. And yesterday morning, we got up through Lighthouse Gap. There was a pretty good west wind, and there was a pretty significant chop. I was really glad I was in a 27-foot sport craft, you know, with a hard top and a, you know, full windshield kind of deal. I would not have wanted to have been out in a little open boat because you would have taken a real pounding. But we pounded out across the waves and got out to where we were going to fish, and actually trolled with downriggers, which, you know, isn't necessarily my favorite way to fish, but there's no doubt it's effective. And you know, running those downriggers about 20 feet down, keeping the lures about a foot off the bottom, and in about 32 feet of water, we caught walleyes at will. There was no trouble at all catching fish. But I suppose it was probably about noon. We were within just a few fish of our limit, and we decided to try some hook and lining. And we ran north up closer to the northwest angle. And in retrospect, it turned out to be a great move because, you know, shortly after we moved north, a storm came in from the west, and the area where we'd been downrigging got just bombarded. I mean, I heard a story about one launch that actually was sitting out there weathering hail and heavy rain and, you know, not to mention a little bit of electricity in the air. I know a couple of the guys remarked you got too close to the fishing rods there at one occasion. You could feel a little tingling going up your arm. And, you know, when you're feeling that, you know, it makes you a little nervous. And, you know, especially with lightning, I think about that strike we saw this spring, and I get pretty jumpy.
Well, yeah, we had one of those this weekend, too, where it Weather Channel on the Marine Band said it's moving east, and we were just going, it's moving south. We got out of Dodge. It hit.
Well, there's no point in taking any chances with that kind of stuff. It's dangerous. It's not a game. And, you know, like I say, we got lucky, and I felt like, you know, we were in good hands. I didn't feel like we were in any danger at all. And, you know, surprisingly, you know, despite the weather that was coming through, as the morning went on, the wind actually went down, and we were fishing nice, calm water. I mean, there was just a nice little chop, nothing of any substance at all. So it was great that way. And then late afternoon, we have our limit of walleyes. We're going to head back to the south end of the lake, again, about a 20-mile ride. There's a black cloud building up behind us from the north. That one chased us off the lake. We stayed ahead of it the whole way. We got to the dock, walked into the resort, and just as we were leaving the dock to walk inside, you could just see the wind coming right down the shoreline, and it hit within seconds after we got inside. So I think, you know, the fish gods were definitely with us yesterday, and the weather gods too, because we got really lucky.
Well, not for everybody, but You know, the sun's got to shine on us once in a while.
Absolutely. We didn't see a whole lot of sun there at that point, but at the same time, we managed to stay away from the lightning and the rain and the wind and all. You know, I guess I can't complain about that either. And again, it's one of those things. That lake, I mean, I fished it all my life. I grew up fishing Lake of the Woods, but it just never ceases to amaze me how big that body of water is. It's an absolutely awe-inspiring sight to look out when you come through Lighthouse Gap, and there's Big Traverse Bay, you know, all 365,000 acres of nothing but wide open water. It's impressive.
Just a small puddle.
Just a little one, yeah. So, you know, a northwest wind coming in on that kind of a situation would not be a good thing. But, no, it's a fun body of water. It's got a great walleye population. There's a lot of fish out there right now. So, you know, if you're looking for things to do, you could do worse than a fishing trip to Lake of the Woods, too.
That's right. Well, folks, we're about two-thirds done with our allotted weekly time. And something happened last weekend that has just had both of us I'm just going to say it, pissed off. And it goes right down any Red River cat fisherman who's been around the Grand Fork stretch for the last few years and seen the developments with all our landings and you know, just our nice new facilities. And it's just upsetting as to what happened.
It is. It's an absolutely uncalled for, you know, unspeakable act, just a lowest of the low thing. What happened was the new North Landing here in Grand Forks, the John Little, the Whopper John Little boat landing, named after a colorful fishing personality. He lived in Grand Forks here for years, had a real passion for catfishing. You know, I knew the guy personally, thought a lot of him. They'd put up a beautiful sign. It was a wooden sign, you know, had engraved letters. Some idiot in the wee hours between Friday night and Saturday morning decided they to take the redneck mobile and back into it or plow into it or do whatever they did and basically reduce that sign to splinters. And it's just an absolutely uncalled for, rotten, rotten thing to do.
Well, basically, you know, when the story came down, and, you know, let's say those of us who are near and dear to the Red River these days have a little pull with some officials and media outlets. So I commend everybody who reported on it and stepped into the play. But $2,000 damage is reported in the paper on Monday morning about this. The sign was 9 days old. 9 days it lasted.
Absolutely. And the thing is, that sign was probably worth a lot more than the redneck mobile that did this. I mean, we were talking a little bit before we went on the air, just kind of envisioning what the vehicle that did this probably looked like. And I mean, you had some good lines there, so I'll let you elaborate on that a little bit.
I can't remember all of a sudden. I believe I said it had big tires, probably big. Needed a step ladder for you and I to get in, a cattle guard on the front with fog lights attached, probably a roll cage. You commented on the music that was playing.
Well, I figured it's either got to be really bad country, you know, kind of saccharine, rotten stuff that, I mean, it's not country, it's not pop, it's the garbage music that I just absolutely despise. It's either that or else it's really bad heavy metal. I mean, you know, not the good stuff, probably some really bad big hair band. But again, it's only speculation. But, you know, I think we can probably be relatively close on this one. And then I think, you know, maybe for a little color to this redneck mobile, it's probably got a little sticker of the little peeing boy in the back, too. I don't know what that's called or what it's supposed to represent, but I can picture it there.
I believe that's Calvin with a piss on Chevy or a piss on Ford or Bin Laden, or, you know, you take your pick, they've got them all.
And evidently they decided to try to do that to a beautiful sign at a really nice boat landing that a lot of people work really hard for in this case too. But, you know, I think some really good things have come out of this. You know, you look at the city leaders, they're paying attention. It has them upset, and you know, there's a real commitment, I think, to, you know, maybe step up the enforcement presence, you know, get some police patrol out there in the evenings. And I mean, there had been some problems brewing before that. Why don't you just touch on those?
Well, being in the position of the Red River Hookers organization that I'm in, the prediction from day one was that the lowlifes who hung out at our old landing, which was out of the city limits, our fear was that they were going to move to the new landing, which is just down, but now in the city limits. And right from the get-go, this spring, we started seeing the problems mounting, and we were requesting police presence immediately. And one thing led to another. Nobody really took it seriously. I don't know if the cops were there or not. I never saw them. But the last 3 weeks, it's just been getting worse and worse and worse with parties and fires. And don't get me wrong. I'm not against a little fire and a couple of fishing rods and a couple buddies and a beer. But I smelled a little weed last Monday when I was driving by. They had one of those big pickups back down to the river. And one fishing rod for probably 10 people. And sorry, folks, that's not fishing.
No, that's not what that facility was intended for. And, you know, that kind of a situation's got to be nipped in the bud before it gets out of hand. And I think, you know, the wheels are in motion for that to happen. So, you know, like I say, I think some good things are going to happen out of this tragedy. And I think it's really a case of fishermen stepping up to the plate and calling for action and doing some things. And I think there's room for improvement. I mean, I know there's a local catfish club in town here that they have their Wednesday night catfish league every night. It's very popular. They raise a lot of money. They've bought equipment. They've bought trailers. I mean, what better opportunity for them to show they actually care about this river than to help in the repair of this landing, you know, maybe help in replacing the sign that is going to cost probably $2,000 to replace. Or maybe it's just investing some labor to get some rocks down there, some boulders, put it around the sign so that the idiots that decided to do this in the first place can't do it again.
Well, and I would like to take the opportunity to commend leaders. You know, you were alluding to that earlier, that the leaders have stepped up and are paying attention. Example, the newspaper article, which with your employer, it had the mayor quoted in it. And that's impressive that the mayor took time to talk to a reporter about, you know, basically such a small thing in the grand scheme of running a city. So I was very impressed with that. I got 5 emails yesterday from the president of the city council who was on top of this, and I thought that was very impressive. The chief engineer of the city of Grand Forks is involved. The police chief is involved. And I know there's many, many, many other people within the organizations who are aware of the situation and are involved, but there was no correspondence from them coming around. Doesn't mean they were any less involved. It just means I didn't see any correspondence from them. So very, very impressed with how people have stepped up.
It's extremely commendable, and it goes to show how far, you know, the promoters of the Red River have come in getting this place on the map and in people's hearts and in people's minds. Because just a few years ago, this kind of thing would not have even been on the radar screen.
They would have pushed that sign in and forgotten about it, and that's it.
Yeah, and maybe put a gate across at night so that nobody can get in there. That would fix the problem. But, you know, those days are gone. And, despite the tragedy and just the complete utter senselessness of something like this happening, you know, the fact that so many people are on the same page, it's a good thing. And, I mean, it's probably, you know, no matter where you live, it's probably a fairly common situation, whether it's a river, a lake, you know, these types of things happen.
You know what? Just personal property, your backyard. You know, people violating your rights or other people's rights that you know. It just gets me going.
Oh, it absolutely does. I mean, I went through it a couple of weeks ago. Some idiot out of my truck in broad daylight decided to steal my satellite radio. They forced open a back window, and they stole my satellite radio, which is about the dumbest thing to take you could possibly take, because all I had to do was, you know, cancel a subscription, and that piece of equipment is absolutely useless to them. So, you know, it was kind of one of those what's the point things. But, and this line was certainly the same way, but on a much more significant scale.
Right. You know, we're running a little low on time. Folks, I guess we always try to put a lesson into the show. I think you if you've listened to us before, you know that. And we've kind of ranted on about this because it's near and dear to our heart, as you have know if you've listened to us. But the thing we want to get across is, if you are the criminal / lowlife / redneck, in Brad's terms, because I'm a touch redneck, we're not taking this crap anymore. And especially with my property, and I consider this North Landing and the South Landing to be partly my property. And if you see that in your community, obviously not all of you are from here, you know, start calling the cops, start standing up. start shaking hands with city leaders and tell them that, you know, you're fed up with this and you want something done. God knows 5 years ago when this whole, or 4 years ago when this whole ramp thing started, I was scared to death when I came face to face with the mayor to shake his hand. But when I call his office now, they take the call.
Well, it's been an amazing ride. I mean, you know, that's basically how the two of us became acquainted, was through this whole bolt ramp debate. And, you know, it certainly set the stage for a lot of fun in the, ensuing time period. But, you know, like you say, we're racking up a bit of time here, 20 minutes and counting right now. And I guess a couple other lessons here, if you've hung on this long. The other lesson would be, don't fish memories, don't fish in lightning. And until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.